You are the Lord, our healer. And Father, we thank you that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So Father, as we approach your word tonight, Father, we ask you to give us ears to hear. And Father, give us words to speak and an understanding heart. In Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. Let's open our Bibles to Genesis chapter 20. Genesis chapter 20. We're talking about, we're proving that it's God's will to heal everyone. In the last week, we proved from the Word of God that God is not, will not, and cannot be a respecter of persons. That means that God treats every person on the face of the earth the same. Now, you say, well, not everybody gets the same treatment. The treatment they get is the treatment they choose. The conclusion is that if healing is available to one person, then healing is available to every person, because God is no respecter of persons. And we proved last week that what he does respect is faith that works by love. So every blessing of God is received from the spiritual realm to the natural realm by faith. The Bible says he has blessed us with everything that pertains to life and godliness, but it's in Christ Jesus. So, we said the greatest hindrances, people who have taught healing and had thousands of people healed, have said that the greatest single hindrance that they have encountered is not knowing that it's God's will to heal them. And unless you can prove to them it's God's will to heal everyone, then there's zero basis for God to heal them. How would you know it's God's will to heal you if it's not God's will to heal everybody? And frankly, if you think it's God's will to heal you because you're special, you're in a lot of trouble. Amen. So, T.L. Osborne said this concerning God's will to heal. He said, until you are fully convinced that God wants you to be well, there will always be a doubt in your mind as to whether or not you will be healed. And you know, where there's a doubt, then the devil will come in and play on that doubt. As long as there's a doubt in your mind, perfect faith cannot exist. And until faith is exercised without doubt or wavering, you may never be healed. Notice he didn't say you will never, but you may never and probably won't. F.F. Bosworth, who wrote the book Christ the Healer, which was one of the first great books concerning healing, preceded T.L. Osborne, he said this, the first step toward being healed is the same as the first step toward salvation or any other blessing that God promises. The sick person needs to know what the Bible clearly teaches. Each individual sufferer must be convinced by the Word of God that his or her healing is the will of God. It's impossible to have real faith for healing as long as there's the slightest doubt as to healing being God's will. It is impossible to boldly claim by faith a blessing that you're not certain God offers. The power of God can be claimed only where the will of God is known. It would just be like somebody saying, well, Jesus died for your sins, he might not have died for your sins. He died for some people's sins. And you know, there are people who believe that. And they don't preach the gospel. First of all, that's not the gospel. But they think that telling someone that God wants to save them is holding out false hope, because God may not want to save them. I've been chewed out by those people that think that it's not God's will to save everyone. Therefore, you shouldn't tell anybody that God wants to save them, because if, according to their doctrine, if God wants to save them, he will, regardless of what you tell them. And of course, they're all saved. That was God's will to save all of them. And of course, they're, well, anyway. So, one more person who had a healing ministry. These people, of course, are all gone to heaven. But Kenneth Hagin said this: in my many years of ministering healing, I've discovered that the number one hindrance to receiving healing, you could call it the number one enemy to healing, is not knowing that it's God's will to heal you. This is usually the issue you have to deal with in order for people to get healed. You have to get them to see that it's God's will to heal them. And of course, the only way to do that is to show that it's God's will to heal everyone. That is considered to be the number one hindrance. Then it's like building a foundation. We need to pay a lot of attention to driving that fact home. So today we want to give you some other evidence, some other corroboration that healing is for all. So here in Genesis chapter 20, we find the first mention. This is a long time since the Garden of Eden. Between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis chapter 20, there's, you know, a long time. People live 900 years and they're all dead, and the flood has come and gone. You know, Abraham was after the flood. So this is the first mention of the word healing, not the first mention of sin. Now, verse 17, if you read verse 17, here's what it says. So Abraham prayed to God and healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children. Now, it's interesting here. If you just take that verse, you might kind of miss what happened. There was no sickness here. There was a condition, but not sickness. Let's look at the story here in Genesis chapter 20, verse 1. And Abraham journeyed from there to the south and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and stayed in Gerar. Now Abraham said of Sarah his wife, "She is my sister," which she was his half-sister. And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, "Behold," or "look, you are a dead man." In his dream, he's telling him, saying, "Now look at your dream. Behold, in your dream, you're a dead man because of the woman whom you have taken, for she is a man's wife." But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, "Lord, will you slay a righteous nation also?" So in this dream, there was more involved than just Abimelech. Now he's saying nation, but he's really referring to himself and his lineage as the nation. And so verse 7 says, here's what God told him to do. He said, "Now therefore restore the man's wife, for he's a prophet, and he will pray for you and you shall live. But if you do not restore her, know that surely you shall die." Literally, the Hebrew says, "In dying you shall die, you and all who are yours." So he did that. He returned his wife, and like I said, he hadn't touched her. And then he gave them money and servants and things. What had happened is, if you jump down to verse 17 and 18, you see what had happened. Verse 17 says, "So Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female servants. Then they bore children." Verse 18 said, "For the Lord had closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife." In other words, this wasn't a sickness, it was a condition, and this condition wasn't going to bring death to the one who had it. It's going to bring death to the line of Abimelech. In other words, he's going to be the last of the Mohegans. Not going to be any more Mohegans. He's it. And so it wasn't death, in that sense. It was death by attrition, and that his line would die. And of course, God healed him. So, but what I want you to see there, the point was that how many did God heal? How many in Abimelech's house, how many that had this condition did God heal? He healed them all. 100%. They were all healed.